I was handed a note just a minute ago that we have a prayer request. If you'll keep in your prayers Jeff Etheridge's mom, Sarah Etheridge, the note says that she fell at church at Beltline today and the doctor there has sent her to the ER at Decatur General. She's got some slurred speech, but that's all that they know at the present time. That's Jeff Etheridge's mother, Sarah Etheridge, and we'll be keeping them in our prayers so that whatever is happening will be done and done quickly and all her needs will be met so that everything will go just right for her. And as soon as we know the various information and the things that are going on, we'll certainly be passing that information along to you. Good to see you tonight, and I hope and pray that your day has been a good day, that this afternoon has been a blessing for all of you. We've got a good crowd tonight, and I'm proud to see that. Tonight we're beginning a sermon series in regard to the question, can we know that we're going to heaven? We sing the song in our songbook, and it is by far, and I have uttered before and I've said before, it's my favorite song in the entire, kind of the entire portfolio of songs that we sing, and that is Blessed Assurance. Grew up singing that song, and it's meant so much to me, and it's just endured to my heart, and the message is so powerful. And yet in regard to what the Bible teaches, truly Christians can have just that, blessed assurance. So tonight as we engage in our study, I want you to begin, and this is where we're going to begin tonight. I want you to think back to me with me to when you first obeyed the gospel. Think back to the point when you first obeyed the gospel. And when you get there in your mind, then I want you to think about back to when you first learned the truth of what a person needed to do to become a Christian, and then go back up just a few days. And I want you to think about how that you felt at that moment when you first realized that you were lost. When it came into your mind for the very first time that you were outside of the fellowship of God, and that if you died in that condition, then there would not be heaven for you, but rather there would be what the Bible described as a devil's hell. How did you feel inside? Did you feel sick? Did you go home and toss and turn in your bed and the acid was churning in your stomach? You know, friends, the thought that I might die in a lost condition is absolutely the most miserable burden to bear. But now with that in mind, I want you to think about how you felt when you came up out of the watery grave of baptism, that you realized that your burden had been lifted and that sin was gone and that you were prepared to meet the Lord. Think about that for just a minute. You know, some people say when they're baptized and right after they're baptized, I wish I could die at this moment. In fact, one of the fellows, Anatoly, that we baptized in the Ukraine last month, right after he came up out of that tub of water and he stood up and he said something to everyone that was in that room in Russian, and they all kind of laughed and smiled, and I said, what did he say? And they said, he said, I want to die right now. And folks, we understand that. We understand that feeling. When you understand what it means to be lost and you're carrying the burden of sin and then it's lifted, isn't that the most wonderful thing in all the world for it to be lifted off to your shoulders and you to come into the realization that Jesus has saved you in His blood and now you're in right relationship with God? And if you died at that very moment, then heaven would be your home. Isn't that the most wonderful feeling in all the world? Folks, let's never lose that. Because sometimes we go on through life and we lose that wonder and that excitement and that enthusiasm, that zeal. Well, then we begin a Christian, our life, and we begin to hear sermons about the possibility of apostasy and that you're carrying the burden of sin, and that oftentimes we begin to see the fact that people are losing their soul, they're becoming unfaithful to the church, and they begin to wonder, and then they begin to study their Bible, and they read verses like 2 Peter chapter 2, 20 and 21, where it says, for if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter is worse for them than the beginning. For it had been better for them to have not known the way of salvation or righteousness than after they have known it to turn away from the holy commandments delivered them. And people read that and you hear that and begin to think about that and you begin to worry. Sometimes preachers, they tell us that we need to be perfect, or at least that's what we're hearing in our mind. And we begin to worry, and in fact, we're feeling that that way before we became a Christian, and it all comes back into our lives once again. You know, there's some people in this world that come to worship, and though they sing the song like Blessed Assurance in their hearts, they really don't have it. They really don't have it. They really don't have the confidence about their salvation. You know, they're members of the church, and although they've been Christians for 25, 30, 40, 50 years, they've never really been able to say to themselves or bring themselves to the point where they say, I know that I am saved. Instead, they use terminology like, I hope I'm saved, I think I'm saved, perhaps I'm saved, maybe I'm saved. And some will go as far as to say, I cannot know that I'm saved until I die, or I cannot know I'm saved until the day that Jesus comes again. So as a result, they're never able to say, if I died tonight, I'm going to heaven. And they live in a constant state of anxiety and a constant state of frustration, and they're completely frustrated about their relationship in God. So they wake up in the morning and they're worried about that, and they spend all of their day worried about that, and they're frustrated and they're worried and they're full of anxiety, and they pillow their head at night and they have that same turmoil that really they don't have the joy that the Bible wants them to have, or God wants them to have through their journey through life. Well, brethren, let me suggest to you this evening that there is a book in the Bible that was written to address this problem. And it has its primary focus giving Christians confidence about their salvation. In fact, every chapter of its book addresses the subject of confidence in our Christian salvation, confidence for Christian. So the book that I'm talking about this evening is the little book of 1 John. And as we think about that book, I want us to address it from the standpoint of blessed assurance. And the first thing that I want us to notice in this little book of 1 John is the opening things in that, and that is the passage in 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 4. And notice what it says. John says, "These things we write to you that your joy may be full." John in that verse says a mouthful. In fact, what he is saying there is the reason that I'm writing this book is that your joy may be full. And brothers and sisters, it's not the desire of God that His children go around wringing their hands in fear and fretting their sweat brows in anxiety and thinking about their relationship with God and thinking that it might not be right or that it could not be right. Rather, God wants us to understand that if our relationship is right with Him, that brings the greatest amount of joy that this life has to offer. You see, the Christian life is one that we ought to be able to say, I know that I'm going to heaven because God has made the promise and God is not wrong. Folks, you ought to be able to sing Blessed Assurance and It Is Well With My Soul. And as we just got through singing To Canaan's Land, I'm On My Way, and mean it with every fiber of our being. So during these series of lessons, and they're going to be five that we study in 1 John, I want us to go through the book of 1 John and pick out one principle for each chapter. One principle from each chapter that ought to give us confidence about our salvation, that we ought to be able to say after studying the little book of 1 John that we have blessed assurance. And folks, if you're one of those persons that struggles with this, if you struggle with the frustration and the anxiety and the difficulty of maybe not having the blessed assurance in Christ or in the Christianity that the Bible promises, that if you're a person that worries about your salvation or constantly thinking, I don't know if I'm going to be able to go to heaven or not, then I want to suggest to you that you read the little book of 1 John one time every week for the next 5 weeks. And if you'll read the little book of 1 John, and it's very short, easy to read, and it doesn't take much time, if you'll read the book of 1 John for 5 times over the next 5 weeks, I believe that you'll come to a better understanding of what God has in store for your Christian life and the confidence that He wants for you in your salvation. So, folks, here we go. And what we're going to do is this. We're going to take the principles that are found in 1 John, and you can see the chapters on the left side of the screen and the verses on the right side of the screen. And each chapter has a very important point that is contained within, and they're right in the middle. So tonight we look at chapter 1 and we understand that what he's saying in chapter 1 is that Christians have what he calls and what I like to call a continual cleansing. So tonight we're talking about continual cleansing, and we're going to 1 John chapter 1 in verses 7 through 9. And that's what we're going to be looking at just for the next few moments, so here we go. In 1 John chapter 1, 7 through 9, I want us to notice first of all the tenses of the verb in this verse, in verse number 7. Notice that John said this, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Now, let's say at the outset, that is a mouthful, and that is a very important passage in regard to our day-to-day Christianity. Now, let's notice the tenses of the verbs in this passage. Notice in that verse that he says that if we walk in the light, that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. First of all, notice the word walk. The word walk in this passage is what's called a present active subjunctive. And what that means in that big $10 term is simply this. John is saying that if we keep on walking in the light, the subjunctive mood really has to do with an action or event of something that is wanted or expected. So what John is really saying is that he wants them that he's writing to and all of us to do something. He really, really wants it more than anything else in the world. And what he wants is for us to walk in the light and keep on walking in the light. That's the import of that particular verb there at the beginning of the verse. But then if we walk in the light and continue, keep on walking in the light, and if we do this, then we come across the second verb and we have this cleansing. And in fact, the word is there, cleanses. And this word is also in the present tense, but it's a present active indicative. And once again, that $10 phrase that describes that verb simply means this. The indicative mood is dealing with fact, not fiction. So what John is communicating here is not something that is figurative. It's not a metaphor or metaphorical. It's not something that is hypothetical in nature. What he's saying here is that there is a fact, and the fact is that if you walk in the light, you're going to receive the continual cleansing from the blood of the very Son of God. And he said that is such a fact that it's accurate and true that you can take that to the bank because it'll be true today, yesterday, and forever. You see what John is saying here? He's describing a constant process of cleansing for those that are keep on walking in the light. Now, this reveals something very interesting. And the interesting thing that it reveals is that I can commit a sin while I'm walking in the light. Now, someone says, "Preacher, what do you mean? I can commit a sin while I'm walking in the light?" Well, just take a look at the verse and know what he says and see what he says. Because, you know, if I am constantly walking in the light and I'm constantly being cleansed, what am I being cleansed of if I haven't committed sin? Obviously, I've committed a sin of which I'm being cleansed as I walk in the light. And so therefore, as I continually walk in the light and commit sin, the blood of Jesus continually cleanses me of that sin. Now that tells us something that is ever so important, and here it is. Let me bottom line it for you. What John is saying here is that we need to see that the fellowship of God is so important and that the fellowship with God is so precious that I need to know all I can about this process of walking in the light and this blessing of being cleansed of my sin. So in doing that, in knowing that, what is the very point that we're talking about that John is communicating to us today? Well, here it is. It means that walking in the light does not mean that we're going to be sinlessly perfect. You know, and sometimes Christians, they read it that way when they read this verse. They think, you know, I can't fellowship God, and this is the way they think, I can't fellowship God until I get my act together or I clean up everything in my life. And then, and only then, will I be able to be good enough to have the fellowship with God. Well, brethren, that's not what John is saying, and that's not right. And the Lord, He knew that some people would interpret this verse in that manner. So So he gives us the very next verse in verse number 8 when he says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us, there in verse number 9. So once again, he makes the point. And the point is very clear and beneficial and profitable for us all in regard to this blessed assurance. And the point is, it's not what we have to be. It's not that we have to be perfect before we can fellowship God. And if you think that, God assures us that it's not that way. He assures us that, well, that we're not going to be perfect, but that does not mean we can't be faithful. Do you get the point? You know, brethren, let's just say a man obeys the gospel in his 20s. And during his 20s, he's walking in the light. And during his 30s, he's walking in the light. And in his 40s, 50s, and 60s, he's walking in the light. And in his 70s and 80s, he's still walking in the light. Folks, I contend to you that that man is saved. And he was saved in his 20s, in his 30s, in his 40s, 50s, and 60s. He was saved in his 70s and his 80s. And if he continues to live and walk in the light, he will be saved during his life until the time the Lord calls him home. And if any time during that life he sinned while walking in the light, at any time in his life, the Bible clearly tells us that the blood of Jesus cleansed him from that sin. Now, I'm here to tell you this evening, that's blessed assurance. That's going through your life in a Christian, that's growing through your life as a Christian, having your joy full. That's trusting and living in the promises of God, knowing well assured that the promises of God are not wrong. Now, does that woman or man not or never experience temptation during their life? Well, of course they do. But you see, their relationship is more important than any temptation could ever be. So they keep on walking in the light with God. And why is that? You see, because He's given them that blessed assurance that if they continually walk in the light, then He'll continually cleanse them with the blood of His Son. It's the understanding of Joseph in Genesis 39 when confronted with fornication, with the woman of another man or a wife of another man, that Joseph responded in the negative by saying, no, that's not right in this situation. You know why? Because he valued his relationship of a greater sort than a fleeting moment of pleasure with another man's wife. It's the understanding of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3. That when they would not bow down and they broke the land, the law of the land, that they were thrown into the fiery furnace. And they said to King Nebuchadnezzar, be it known unto you, O king, that we will not bow down. Our God will save us. And if he doesn't, you'll not get our allegiance. It's the understanding of Daniel in Daniel 6. That even when he knew that the decree had been signed to not pray, he went to his house and three times a day he prayed toward Jerusalem, understanding that his relationship with God was of greater value than any law that man could enact. It's the understanding of Moses when he came of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused the pleasures of sin to suffer with the people of God. It's the understanding of David that even though he didn't leave a perfect life, that when he was confronted with his sin, he responded in a penitent, humble way of 2 Samuel 12 and verse number 13 when he said, I have sinned against my God. You see, folks, the people that walk in the light are Christians. And this Christian knows that God is the light and there's no darkness in God at all, verse number 5. And this Christian knows that claiming fellowship with God and walking in darkness, that's a bald-faced lie, verse number 6. And this Christian knows that we must confess our sins that have been committed. And that is a part of walking in the light, verse number 9. And this Christian knows that the promises of God, They're more important, and they must trust in those promises more than anyone or anything else, and that God has promised to pardon the penitent. Verse number 9. And this Christian knows that God cleanses those who are pardoned. And this Christian knows that sin is a reality, and God will not tolerate those that commit such. You see, that's a part of walking in the light. And the promise is made to those that walk in the light, that is continually walk in the light, that your sins will be cleansed by the blood of the Son of God. Folks, I'm here to tell you, you can't find that blessing anywhere or from anyone else on the face of this earth except in Jesus. Now, folks, there's an interesting verse in Romans chapter 4 and verse number 8, where Paul says in a very powerful way, he said, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. I ask the question, who is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin? Well, the answer is simple. He's the man of 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 7, who is striving to do right, who is trying the best to live. He's the man that is continually walking in the light of God. Well, does he stumble? Well, of course he stumbles. Does he falter? Well, of course he falters. Does he transgress? Well, of course he transgresses. Does he commit sin? Well, of course he commits sin. But folks, does the Lord impute that sin to his account? No. Why? Because he keeps on walking in the light as God is in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ keeps on cleansing him from sin. Now, brethren, that's blessed assurance. Does this man mess up sometimes? Well, of course he does. But folks, he never gives up, and he never turns his back on God, and he never walks away from God in rebellion, pride, or anger. When he messes up, when he sins, when he transgresses, what does he do? He confesses. He repents. He changes his ways. He prays to God. He keeps on walking in the light. And the blood of God's Son keeps on cleansing this man from the sins that he has committed. That's what it means to walk in the light. And I'm here to tell you this evening, that's blessed assurance. Now listen to me. The Bible says that God will not impute sin against that man. Now, the word impute means to mark up against. So in other words, what Paul and John are telling us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is this. God will not mark up a sin against the one that is walking in the light. Why is that the case? Because, folks, the blood of Jesus Christ is by far the most powerful thing in regard to sin that exists on the face of this earth. That Jesus' blood is cleansing the one that is walking in the light. That the sins that are committed, they're confessed and they're repented and they're cleansed and they're forgiven. Now, that's blessed assurance. That's living life God's way. That's the Bible way. No wonder. You know what I think about this? No wonder that verse in Romans 4 and verse number 8 says this, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." Blessed, why? Because this is the richest blessing that there truly is. And folks, in Romans still, in Romans 8 and verse number 1, there Paul says this, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." That verse in Romans 8 and verse 1 is just as much Bible as it is in Romans 4 and verse number 8, as well as in 1 John 1 and verse number 7. And brethren, who is the one that to whom condemnation is not levied in that passage? Well, it's the one that is continually walking in the light, continually being cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the faithful New Testament Christian. Now notice, it's not unconditional cleansing. You see, the cleansing is for those that are walking in the light. I ask this evening, are you walking in the light? If you're walking in the light, you have a recognition of a number of things. Because you see, those that walk in the light, they recognize that there's only one true God. Those that walk in the light are recognizing that there is only one begotten Son of God, and that is Jesus. Those that walk in the light, they understand the Holy Spirit has revealed and confirmed the message of God, and we have that with us today called the Bible. Those that walk in the light, those that recognize this, they recognize there is only one true church in existence today, and that church belongs to Christ because, you see, He purchased it with His own blood. And those that walk in the light, they recognize that, you see, the church wears the name of Jesus and contains the body of Jesus. Those that walk in the light, they understand that the only way to heaven is through Jesus, and that you must be a member of Christ's body, the church, to be in heaven. Because, you see, Christ and the church are synonymous. The only way to heaven is through Christ, and the only way to heaven is through the church. They understand that walking in the light is regular worship and faithful living and hard working. That's Christianity. And that doing things God's way is the only right way, because, you see, that's walking in the light. I ask you this evening, are you walking in the light? Do you know the will of God? The light of God is the will of God. Are you set on the narrow path, the walk that God requires? Are you set in doing the will of God? Well, this is the desire to be in the God's light. Do you desire to fellowship with God, or do you desire to fellowship with something else? Have you committed your life to the Son of God in faith, repentance, confession, and baptism? Are you confessing your sins? Are you repenting of those sins that you confess? Are you praying for forgiveness of the sins that you confess and repent? Now, If so, then truly you're walking in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ is continually cleansing you from all sin, and your joy truly is full. Someone says, I don't have the kind of joy the Bible describes. Take a self-examination of your walk then this evening. Because if you're not walking in the light, you need to come to God through Jesus Christ. To come into the light in His blood will then cleanse your sin and keep on cleansing you as you keep on walking in the light. You know, as we think about the blessings this evening of verse number 9, there John, he sums up to a point this positive nature of this passage by saying that if we confess our sins, He is, that is, God is faithful. And not only is God faithful, but He is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's where I want to live. Because you see, living in that, I can say, and we can say, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. I ask you this evening with all the fervor of my being as a gospel preacher, can you, in the most personal way that is meant, say right here, right now, tonight, that if I were to die this evening, then I have the confidence in the promises of God, because His promises are right and true. And I'm living to exalt Him and to uplift His holy and holy name. That I'm walking in the light, and if I were to die this evening, then heaven would be my home. I'm convinced that is the most sobering question that a person could ever ask themselves in the entirety of their life. And if you can with confidence say yes, I'm continually walking in the light and the blood of Jesus is continually cleansing me from my sins, then I don't have to tell you about the kind of joy that the Lord has for your life because you're experiencing it first and foremost. What if there is some doubt, some confusion, some possibility or hint of a lack of confidence? And I would say to you this evening, don't live your life on doubt. Don't let even the smallest hint of a question determine your existence. Confirm your confidence in the will and the Word of God. And if there is sin in any form, any size in your life, that you would eliminate that through the repentance and confession and asking God to forgive you. And maybe you need to begin that journey this evening of continually walking in the light. But you would see that as the most important thing, the urgency, the immediateness. Wild horses couldn't keep you from making your right life right with God. So this evening, as we think about this subject of blessed assurance, blessed assurance is for those that continually walk in the light. And as they walk in the light, the blood of Jesus continually cleanses them of the sins that they commit. Does that describe you? If it doesn't, we're going to stand and sing this song that Brendan has chosen. And while we're standing and singing that song, and you need to ask God for forgiveness, ask for the prayers of the church, whatever you might need, you just simply leave where you're standing, come down to the front, and I promise you we'll help you in whatever way that we can. But if that's your need, won't you come as together we stand and as we sing.